The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
You know, when I moved to Colorado 12 years ago, I didn't know I'd be so confused. I have no idea what season it is. I have no idea, you know, and it really is getting to be rather interesting, isn't it, huh? All that snow, my. And today, you know, we're celebrating with these two young men, and what a blessing. What a blessing to hear their testimonies, to watch Grandpa baptize them. I noticed he didn't drown them. I think that's great. And tonight, we're celebrating with those who are graduating from our high school and in our student ministry. And these are some amazing, remarkable people. They are not the future of our church. They are the present of our church. And we always need to remember that, whether they're little children or students. And I'm just so thankful for that. So I'm thinking to myself, what kind of advice would I give them? What kind of advice would I give, really, anyone? And I found this rather interesting. In the Mandarin Chinese language, the word for devotions, or reading the word and praying, is ling shi o. Ling shi o. And it's made up of two words, okay? So the word ling means soul, and the shilo, shio, means repair. So when we go to the Lord and we open his book and we read it like a love letter from God, and as he speaks to us, then we pray and speak back to him, and we cultivate that discipline, which is something the students have been reviewing just now, he repairs our souls. He gives us strength. He gives us help. He gives us aid. He gives us nourishment, and he repairs our souls. I thought, wow, that is such a great way to describe this discipline. I started keeping a journal when I was in college, and I've been keeping journals all my life. And sometimes I write in them a lot. Sometimes I don't write so much. And it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me. And one of the good things about keeping a journal is I can't cheat. So if I don't have devotions, I didn't read the word, I know, because I see the date and I see that, and it helps me. And I would encourage you to pray to God to give you the strength to maintain godly disciplines, including devotions. Now, we have core values here at this church, and they're described in the acrostic life. We put it in our mission statement. We invite all generations and all cultures to share life together, that all might be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. The life is capitalized because it stands for this: loving God and loving others, instruction in the Word of God, fellowship with one another, and then evangelism to those who don't yet know Christ. And so those are our core values. And I tell you, every week when I have the privilege to stand before you and share from God's Word, that's what we're doing. This is about learning the scripture and how, what it means, what it meant to them, and then how the Holy Spirit would apply it to us. Because I'm not clever enough. I can't apply it to everybody, but the Holy Spirit can. And isn't it amazing how he takes the word and he gives us direction and he speaks to us. And we're so blessed when we follow as he's leading. And that's why we will be committed to being instructed in the Word of God. And not just in preaching, but in all aspects of our ministry. Now, our current series has been A Child's Faith. And I've kind of felt like this is an interesting series. We started out with Jesus saying, you know, except you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And it requires us, if we're going to live under the lordship and reign of Jesus Christ, we must be childlike, not childish. And so we looked at Samuel, and that was such an amazing story, because Samuel's just maybe 12 years old, and he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And all of his life, Samuel lived like that. The scripture said that none of his words ever fell to the ground. All that he prophesied always came true, and he served with incredible integrity. And in large part, it was because he kept listening for the Word of God and then applying it to his life and sharing it with the nation of Israel. And then last week, as Ed alluded to, we were looking at David and Goliath and It's only the second time in my life I've preached from David and Goliath, and I thought, my, I should have gotten back here a lot sooner, but it was just a wonderful thing to watch David take on that enemy, that 10-foot-tall enemy, and defeat him. He took 5 stones of ammo, but only needed one, because he hit him right between the eyes with the first shot. But what he said is, the battle is the Lord's. See, it's not a story about David or Goliath so much as it's a story about the Lord and how the Lord gave him victory. Now today, we're going to look at Daniel and his friends. And we get the setting of the context of this story right at the beginning of the book of Daniel, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, Jehoiakim's name means the Lord raised up, and he had a great father. His father's name is Josiah. In fact, before this series is over, we're going to look at Josiah, because he was a very young king, but a very godly king. But the revival that happened under Josiah was very shallow. It didn't go very deep. And God had to discipline the nation of Israel. And he used the Babylonians to do that. And they came to Jerusalem, and it was 605 BC, the year I graduated from high school. And he came in, and he defeated them. And Daniel goes on to tell us what it was like. He says, "And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, that is Nebuchadnezzar, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And these he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasury house of his God." So Daniel's a young man, a teenage man, maybe 15 years old, maybe 16. We don't know exactly. He's been raised, I believe, in a very godly home. And he knew the scriptures. And he had to watch this defeat of the armies. Now, Jeremiah had said, go to Babylon. You're going to be there 70 years. Plant vineyards. Have families. Build your houses. And Daniel did that. This is really interesting. Daniel did that exactly. He followed what Jeremiah had said. And it says, as we read on in verse 4, that the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. So we know right there that Daniel had some nobility in his blood. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, which is the Akkadian language. They learned about agriculture. They learned about architecture. They learned about art. They learned all these things. And it was a period of 3 years. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. So Daniel submits to all of this. He submits to all that. So we read on. We read that among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. He's the official over the eunuchs. Please let that sink in. Most likely, this teenage young man was made a eunuch. And so were his friends. The chief official gave them new names as a way to insult them, as a way to introduce them to a new culture so they would adopt their new culture. And Daniel, the name Daniel means, "My judge is God." It's a great name. But they assigned him the name Belteshazzar, which means protect the king. Hananiah, "The Lord is gracious." His name is Shadrach, the command of Aku, who is the moon god of the Chaldeans. Mishael, "What is God like?" was given the name Meshach, which means, "Who is what Aku is?" And Azariah, the Lord has helped, was given the name Abednego, a servant of Nebo, who was the god of agriculture and the god of vegetables and those sorts of things. So this was done intentionally, no doubt, to insult them and to get them reacclimated to this new culture and to learn those language. Now, Daniel, we know from this book of Daniel that he served faithfully under pagan kings, not just in Babylon, but in Persia also, for 74 years. Wow. And God opened up to him incredible things in this book. I mean, I love the book of Daniel. We're just in chapter 1 today. But it's amazing. He lived that way. We see no dirt on Daniel. That's what it says in my notes. There was no dirt on Daniel. You know, a lot of the godly men and women of the Bible, there's dirt. We find dirt. Not at Daniel. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't some, because there no doubt was. But he really lived a life of integrity under the worst of circumstances, especially now. He's a teenage boy, young man, and this story's unfolding. So what are the vital lessons that Daniel taught his friends? Stand up for biblical convictions. Show respect to everyone, especially those in authority. Lead by example so others will follow. And trust in the Lord to provide all your needs. Let's dive in. We're now up to verse 8. And it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Now, I want you to understand that's a very personal decision by Daniel alone. He resolved in his heart. He set in his heart. That's what it literally says in Hebrew, that he would not defile himself. It wasn't about the quality of the food or the wine or anything. It was about obeying God. It was about following the menu that God had prescribed. His concern was for his soul. And he makes this resolution. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, you're not allowed to eat pork and you're not supposed to eat meat that has blood in it. But probably the biggest thing that God warned about food was don't eat food offered to idols. And see, that's most likely where this food came from. And this is why Daniel resolved, I'm not going to be defiled. I'm not going to eat that food. No doubt it was good food. You know? Hershey bars, all kinds of stuff, right? But he didn't eat it. He wouldn't eat it. And he resolved this. And God, no doubt, was working in his conscience. It reminds me of Moses when he was in Egypt. He didn't want to be defiled by the Egyptians. He separated himself. You think about some of the words that Paul uses and says we're to separate ourselves from some things. And this is what's happening. Daniel's in the land of the Tower of Babel, but he refuses to compromise his heart convictions. I was reading of one of Andy Stanley's messages, and I appreciate Andy Stanley. I hope you do. And he's saying in this sermon, when he was in seventh grade, they tried to scare us to death about using alcohol. Do you remember this? Like maybe seventh grade. We saw a film about a party where students dance and listen to music, and then one guy invites his friends to the back room for drinks, and another guy passes out, and they can't revive him, so they call the ambulance, and he's rushed to the hospital where someone calls his parents, and his mother's crying, and his dad's crying, and the doctor sticks needles in his veins and tubes up his nose, and the moral of the movie is don't drink alcohol or they'll stick needles in your veins, tubes up your nose, and your parents will cry. And we were all convinced that none of us would ever drink alcohol if that's what they're going to do to us. He even stayed clear of the water fountain that day. And then they brought in another film, and the plot was basically the same, but the moral this time was don't take drugs. And then another time, we got to look and touch the lung of some poor soul who had smoked all his life. Yeah. We were all convinced in the seventh grade that none of us would ever smoke cigarettes. And then another movie was shown in the courses, and the movie makes slasher films look like G-rated films. It's of accidents and of the damage of people who had been in those accidents. Accident after accident, shots of cars and bodies and people who are mangled and dead. And I thought the moral of that movie was, don't ever get in a car. But we were seventh graders, and we were convinced that under no circumstances would we drink, smoke, take drugs, or drive recklessly. And yet, soon after we entered high school, most of my friends were smoking. Just about everybody was drinking, and I lost several of my friends to drug overdoses. Why could we be convinced that something was deadly, unhealthy, and unwise, and yet our actions not bear to what we believed? And today, many of us, you know, made resolutions where we're not going to do this. Well, we'll never do that. And yet now we find ourselves doing it. Maybe it's become a pattern or addiction or an unhealthy pattern in our lives. Yet there was a time we said, no, we'll never do that. We hear sermons and we pray. So he says wisely, here's the reason. We have preferences. We have very few convictions. Let that sink in. May God help us, young and old alike, from Scripture to develop convictions that we will stand for. See, that's a secret in Daniel's life. I mean, that is really a big lesson to be learned here. Just say no to all compromises of divine truth and practice. Say no. Secondly, show respect to everyone, especially those who are in authority. As we read on, it says, Daniel asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. And now God had caused, underline that, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. God intervened. He did the right thing. He showed respect for those in authority. He asked for permission, and God moved. Now, it doesn't always work out this way, but it was working out this way for a teenage boy by the name of Daniel. He said, my God is my judge. That's what his name meant. And the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than all the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. So he obviously showed some reluctance of it all. But Daniel is showing respect for authority. Paul said we're to show respect for those in authority above us. One of the great lessons of life is to learn how to respect authority. I love the way Ed was saying that his father was the authority figure in his family. He also told me a story this week that made me chuckle. When they pulled out the will, there was a post-it note on the front of the will. And it said, please contact a lawyer before you open this will. That was from his mother. And Ed and his brother just laughed. She's still talking to us 5 years after she's gone. She still instructed us. But it's a beautiful thing to submit to authority and let God lead. And that's what Daniel was doing. This is just an amazing story. What an important lesson for us. Now, we don't disobey God. See, I mean, that's the whole point of the story. We obey God, but we also show respect to those in authority. Thirdly, lead by example so others will follow. And that's what happens here. As we pick it up in verse 11, Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed. This is a different person, okay? This isn't the chief. This is another person, someone under him in authority. And he had appointed this man over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. I laughed when I read the King James. It says pulse. I don't know. I guess that's Middle English for vegetables, you know? Anything that come up out of the ground is what the Hebrew says. Anything that's grown in the ground, you can eat. And then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. I figure he probably thought, 10 days, who will know? The king probably won't know. There won't be any dramatic difference in 10 days. We can go along with this test. And God worked in 10 days. I mean, that's what's so amazing, right? To these four young men, God worked. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. Nothing but broccoli and spinach. Maybe a little rhubarb thrown in, you know? But what a blessing. God showed up. God showed up. And what's powerful about this is that Daniel had friends now. You see, we saw the friends got introduced. Daniel was the leader, and now there's a group of four of them, young teenage boys, young men, who are standing for truth and who go through this test and pass just gloriously. We're in desperate need for leaders. This nation needs leaders. This our church needs leaders. Our community needs leaders. And I'm so excited for those students that are graduating and we're going to celebrate with tonight. But not just them. I'm excited about many of you as leaders. We want to equip you to be the best leaders you can be in your home, at your office, wherever, that others will follow your example. Live for the Lord. Leave the consequences to Him. Stand on your biblical conviction. Show respect to everyone. Lead by example, and others will follow. I like what was said and is true of this man who was the chairman of the board of IBM. Strangely, the expounders of many of the great new ideas of history were frequently considered on the lunatic fringe for some or all of their lives. If one stands up and is counted from time to time, one may get knocked down. But remember this, a man flattened by an opponent can get up again. A man flattened by conformity stays down for good. Boy, that's powerful. And I think it helped that he had his friends. I think that's just a key, that he was an example and they followed. Finally, trust in the Lord to provide all your needs. Trust in the Lord. The blessings just flow out. And there's even an extra blessing for Daniel. Verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge. They were smart. They had knowledge. They could comprehend and evaluate teaching. They had understanding, which is the ability to make fine distinctions, you know, between what's good and what's better and what's best, and those kinds of distinctions, that understanding. It's a great Hebrew word. And then all kinds of literatures and learning. I mean, they were just gifted. They had wisdom. They knew how to apply what they had been taught. And they knew how to discern what really wasn't truth, even in all the training they got for these 3 years. And Daniel was given the ability to understand visions and dreams. And that's really important, isn't it? I mean, as you read the rest of the book, you know how important that becomes in the life of Daniel. And God, this is all a gift from God. This is what God gave to them. And it's such a blessing. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. He put them to work right away. And what a blessing this is. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Those people that were trained in the occult were nothing compared to these four young men. 10 times they were better. And that's why he gave them very responsible positions. But now we know that astrologers condemn Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. I don't know why we remember them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We really should remember their Hebrew names. But you remember they were thrown in a furnace, and then somebody else shows up? Remember, it's Jesus? and they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. And then of course, later, way much later in Daniel's life, it's the Persians who throw him to the lions. But the lions, he just pets them and walks out in the morning. God is faithful. Explains how God responds to those who say no. Those who want to live a separated life unto him. He's faithful to meet all our needs. He equips us to serve and honor him. And it's a glorious thing. They were good in the government. They were good influences. They were light in the darkness. They were salt. That's the kind of men these guys were all their lives. And it began when they were teenagers. Philip Bliss was a songwriter and singer with D.L. Moody and some other evangelists. And he wrote a song, "Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known." Boy, that's a lesson from Daniel. That's what we're seeing. And I want to confess that I do better when I have the help of others. I live in accountability to the elders of this church, to the staff. I learned this a long time ago, and I find this a really interesting list of questions that Charles Swindoll has been using for years with men that he is accountable to, men that he lives with and grows with. This past week, have you been with a member of the opposite sex that might be seen as compromising? This past week, have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity? This past week, have you exposed yourself to sexually explicit material? This past week, have you spent adequate time daily in Bible study and prayer? Have you given priority time to your family? Have you fulfilled the mandate of your calling? And then probably the best question is number 7, have you just lied to me? Loving accountability like this will help us all to do better. And may God help us to be like Daniel, to be like his friends, to stand up for biblical convictions, to show respect to everyone, especially those in authority above us, to lead by example so others will follow, to trust in the Lord to provide all we need. My, this is a good lesson. I'm glad we saw Daniel today. I was coming in and somebody of our church said, "I hope Pastor Rick speaks on Daniel." Can you believe that? Holy Spirit must have been speaking to him this week, huh? Because we looked at Daniel. Dear Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. None of us are perfect. There was no dirt on Daniel, but I'm sure there was dirt. But you gave him grace. You gave him strength. And Father, how we cry out for that for ourselves, for our friends, for our loved ones, for everybody of every age in this house, this flock, that we would be a people of integrity. That we would be people who stand firm and love you and love others for your glory. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.